Welcome to I Can Ship It. We're your hosts. I'm Annette.
And I'm Ashley.
Welcome to episode 8. Today, we're going to veer a little bit from our shipping and our screeching about our favorite ship. We're going to do a little special episode on Stonewall and Pride. You may or may not know what Stonewall is, but Stonewall Inn was a bar in New York City. It was run and owned by the Mafia because in those days, the LGBT community were not allowed to, you know, we couldn't be open and public and free to express who we are. We had to hide everything about us. So it was opened as a private club, and it was a hole in the wall. They didn't have running water. They had a bucket they would dip glasses in, you know, just dip them, rinse them, and water down drinks. And, you know, the Mafia set them up. But, you know, Stonewall was one of many bars that were like this. Well, I won't say many, but if it was a gay bar, they were all run like this. So, the police force at this time in 1969 and, you know, prior leading up to this, they were very corrupt. They preyed on the gay community, anything that they could other them than, because, you know, at this time, you could lose your job for being gay. Your whole life would be ruined if somebody thought you were gay, suspected you were gay, or confirmed you were gay. So they would come in and they would raid these bars and they would get paid off. You know, they would come in, check these IDs. A lot of people had fake IDs because they didn't want to give their real names because, hey, if they got arrested, you know, their whole life is ruined. So in the early morning hours of June 28th, 1969, a raid happens. New York City police, they're coming in. They're going to raid it. And at this point, the gay community just decided they were going to fight back. Like, they'd had enough of it. They've lived their whole life in a closet. They were asking for this one little corner of the world just so they could be themselves. And it was a shitty piece of the world. And they were tired of it. So when they came in, they got met with resistance. Instead of just getting their payoff, they were met with a fight. And this erupted into a riot, carried out onto the streets. It led into, it was actually more than one night, but the height of it was there on the 28th. So this year will be the 50th anniversary, so it's a big deal for those of us in the LGBT plus community. It was literally, this raid was, you know, like 5-6 cops. There was 2 female officers already undercover that were in the bar when the other cops showed up to raid it. So they were shocked as shit when the gays started fighting back.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you push people to the extent of their breaking point, they're going to fight mm-hmm. back. Like, it's all about, you know, basically how our bodies are. It's fight or flight. Like, you're either going to, you know, if you're pushed to the point where you're either going to fight back or you're going to leave, basically, mm-hmm. and just take it, or, you know, live to fight another day, however you want to think of it, it's going to happen. You're going to reach a boiling point. I mean, and that's usually the start of a lot of civil rights, you know, movements or gay rights movements, is it was mm-hmm. just, they were tired of it, and rightfully so. I mean, can you imagine if you are hanging out, having a good time, like, you're not bothering anybody. Nobody's being bothered by you. You're in, you know, you're in closed doors. Nobody can see you. You know, it's not like you were a public nuisance or doing anything. You're just living your life, you know, having some shitty drinks in a safe space. And, you know, you used, like, the way that they described everything, they, you know, they were used to it, but it was just, you know, it had just been raided. Like, what could you possibly be coming for now? Now you're just being greedy. Like, mm-hmm. and I think rightfully so. I mean, you know, you reach a point where it's just, hey, you know what? I am trying to just live my life doing the best that I can. I just want this one moment of peace and just being able to be myself. And you got to come in here and ruin it with your greed. And the thought that, okay, because, you know, they're gay, we can take advantage of it. And there's nothing they're going to do back. When you have that mentality, that's usually when fire starts. And then people are like, you know what? I'm tired of you. I'm tired of this. we need to do something. Something's got to change. And that's when the spark of revolution, the spark of change actually occurs. Like, this, you know, this was a hard one for me because a lot of stuff I didn't know. Like, I've heard of Stonewall, but I didn't really, like, know a lot of what happened. Like, could I tell you the date of the riot? No. Like, I knew where it was. I knew what happened there, but I didn't know much of more than that. Like, I couldn't tell you figures and people who were involved and kind of, you know, the outcomes of Stonewall besides what we know of today. But
right,
it was difficult, you know, just to, and Annette knows this because she like sent me all this material to listen to and watch. And I did. And I'm the kind of person where, and I said this in a previous episode that, you know, I watch things. I know what it's not going to be, you know, PC. It's not going to be where it's, you know, they're going to acknowledge the fact that what was wrong and all that kind of stuff. So I knew going in that I was going to be mad, you know, because it is, it's a very touchy thing, you know, that people were treated the way that they were treated. And y'all, this was around the time during the civil rights movement too. So there is a lot that was going on in this country that people, you know, people aren't being treated right. I mean, around this time, this was 1969. Thankfully, my family had left the South long before, you know, a lot of this stuff went down. But I still had some family in the South that had to deal with. We had a cousin that was killed in Louisiana, that was killed, you know, because of, you know, racist nonsense and stuff. So seeing, I know that aspect of this time frame, and then going into learning more about Stonewall, it makes you mad. Like, it just pisses you off. Because it's like, how can people just hate so much and then expect people to just sit there and take it? Like, these people that were at Stonewall, they're not your grand, they're not the grandparents. They're not their grandparents where, you know, they were like, hey, this is the world we live in. We just have to deal with it. They were like, no. The country is already going through a change in other aspects of, you know, our country, our communities. Now it's time for ours. And that, little did the cops know, they were the catalyst. They were the spark that was going to set this thing off, you know, eventually for the better. And, you know, hey, you reap what you sow. Like, you give out shit, you're gonna get shit back. Like, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, up until this point, anything, because there was several things that happened way before Stonewall. You know, we're just focusing on Stonewall for the purpose of our discussion right now. But everything was meant to not upset the status quo. You know, anytime there would be a march or a protest of any kind that for any type of LGBT, right? They would have, you know, the men had to show up in their suits and ties and the women had to show up in their dresses to say like, hey, you know, we just want to fit in. You know, they were fighting just to be themselves in private. And, you know, they weren't even allowing us that. I mean, I'm saying us because I'm part of this community. But it's, you know, in researching and knowing our history and learning about this time and, you know, the fabric of our culture, you know, up until this point, until, you know, the Stonewall riots happened, any type of rights that had been fought for, you know, through the 50s and 60s, when, you know, they started kind of stepping into it, it was just to, they didn't want to upset the status quo whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Any men would show up, they would be like in their suits and ties. So they couldn't be their flamboyant, you know, the drag queens couldn't be themselves. Anybody that was going to, you know, transsexual. Now, I will say there was some language that I would not use today. I don't think you would either. Yeah. But in that time, you know, they called themselves transsexual, transvestites, you know, it was more along with what we would know as derogatory today. So I just kind of stay away from it. And, you know, they were fighting for themselves up at that point just to, you know, hide. They just wanted to be who they were in private.
Yeah.
And they had these clubs and they were like, all right, we're in private. Can't let us, leave us alone. Let us be who we are. And they wouldn't even do that because, you know, they wanted to come in and just steal their money, steal their dignity is what they were doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, who wouldn't be pissed off at that? Yeah. I mean, they were just fucking tired.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if you think about it, you imagine, you know, it's a Friday night or whatever, you know, the actual day. But, you know, it's nighttime. It's 1 something in the morning. You know, you're just hanging out. Again, nobody was bothering anybody. They weren't on the street. Like, they were in the facility. So you had to actively go out of your way to go mess with them, you know. And mm-hmm. again, you didn't expect that, especially, like, okay, at that point in time, they knew, okay, there was, you know, you had to pay the piper. You know, they knew the cops,
yep.
you know, back then were super, super dirty, which that's some today. But anyway, you know, super, super dirty. So they knew they had to pay the piper. They had to pay a fee to be able to just relax and be themselves for a few hours of the day, you know. So they knew that. But people like that and a lot of the people that probably went to the Stonewall, because the Stonewall wasn't in a good neighborhood, you know, so... People no. that went to Stonewall,
Village, but it's not the Greenwich Village of today.
Yeah, not the Greenwich of today. But, you know, these are working class people. Most of them were working class people, you know, or homeless, depending on, you know, who it was. But, yeah. you know, so you have these working class people that have to pay, you know, the little bit of money that they have to be able to be themselves for a few hours. And you keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And again, human nature, if you keep poking, they're going to snap. They're either going to snap or they're going to run away. And at that point, that was the breaking point. They were like, you know what? We're not going to deal with this anymore. Like I said, at the time, there was so much going on in the country. You know, it sparked the thought of revolution, sparked the thought of change. And they were just like, screw you, screw this. We're not going to take this anymore. And started this whole thing. And there were so many heroes that came out of, you know, the Stonewall riots that a lot of people probably don't know their names. I will admit, I'm very ignorant. This is going to be an episode that I'm very ignorant in, that I had to do a lot of researching and learning. And I had to, you know, I had to go and Google. I've been Googling like a crazy person the last, you know, few weeks. But there's so many heroes that came out of it that I didn't know the names of these people. I didn't, because it's not something that people bring up.
What you know, what anybody would know of it probably would be like a little blurb of it. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen, you know, the movie Stonewall, do not watch the movie. Go watch a documentary. It is very whitewashed. Like they put it through the eyes of a made up, you know, 20-something white gay male. He was not the hero. Yeah, there were some white boys there. There were some white girls there. But you know what? What actually set this off was as these paddy wagons, you know, as they're putting people into the wagons, you know, and people started gathering around to watch what the hell was going on at Stonewall. And there was a woman. There are some conflicted reports kind of on who it was or who it wasn't, but it was a very butch lesbian, and she was also a black woman. And most likely, they've identified her as Stormy, and I do not want to butcher her last name. It's D-E-L-A-R-V-E-R-I-E. But she just kept fighting with them, and she'd been fighting with the cops for 10 minutes trying to get, you know, let go, because, I mean, if she was put in this wagon, it was going to end her life. That was it. You know, she would have lost her job. She would have lost who she was. An officer, you know, literally just picked her up and tossed her into the back of the wagon. And finally, she was like, you know, she just started screaming out, why don't you guys do something? And there was the spark. They were like, why don't we? And they started, you know, this is when, you know, the gays started circling the block. The cops got so scared, their asses retreated back into the Stonewall, where they were just trying to haul these people out because they had never fought back before.
Yeah.
You know? And it was all because of Stormy.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, there's so many heroes that came out of this thing. I mean, you had Stormy, you had Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera. Like these, and, you know, they're people of color. I mean, there's, you know, tons of other ones, but like these particular three, you know, conflicting accounts with Stormy, but Sylvia and Marsha, you know, pretty much every documentary that I watched or every podcast I listened to, or any Wikipedia page I read, their names are mentioned in, you know, in this whole riot, the whole spark of the riot. And the like, it was the riot that started everything, but that spark, they realized, especially there's one where Sylvia, she realized, like, yeah, this is the revolution, this is it, but what are we going to do with it? And how are we going to keep rolling forward? And so Sylvia was homeless. So she had nothing. She didn't have the resources or anything to be able to really, you know, anytime you have a revolution, that shit is expensive. So she didn't have the resources to really be able to do anything. But with what she had, the street smarts that she had and the connections she had within the community, within her community, like she was able to start STAR, which, you know,
with Marsha
and really, you know, try to keep the ball rolling. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we have to be thankful for with Marsha and Sylvia, because without them, you know, there's so much that we wouldn't have. Like, even if they didn't directly influence something, their, you know, whether it was their story or, you know, somebody telling something about their strength, whatever it was, something about them may have, you know, influenced or inspired somebody to step out and then, you know, take the baton. Like, the whole thing with when it comes to rights and rights movements, at least in my opinion, is it's a baton. You know, you have the Stonewall riots, all right? Mm-hmm. Then they hand the baton off to Marsha and to Sylvia and to all the other groups and people that came out of the Stonewall riot, handed it to them. Then they take it and then they hand it to, you know, somebody else down the line and down the line. Then that stuff starts hitting entertainment. We're in the 90s. Ellen comes out on TV. That's the baton that keeps getting passed. And then because she made her sacrifice of becoming and staying who she was and being proud of who she was and staying on national TV, then she passed the baton on for more. So now you have this baton that keeps passing and passing and passing to make things better for the next generation of all people. That to me, I think that's the benefit of the Stonewall riots, is the fact that they realize that, hey, it's time for a change and we need to do something. And Marsha and Sylvia, especially, like, I really fell in love with kind of like their story and everything, you know, post the Stonewall riots, and really kind of honed in on them and kind of what they did. And just to hear some of the stuff that they did, and even some of the stuff that they had to go through, you know, because there was a rift within our community as well that they had to fight against on top of everything else. But they realized the overall goal was right, equal rights for everyone, whether you're lesbian, gay, trans, whatever. That was their goal, was helping out our community and making sure that people had the right to be themselves. And, you know, we have so much to be thankful for because of their sacrifice, because what they did. And again, it's amazing how things can all circle back to one moment. One moment that really started it off. I mean, yeah, there was, you know, all the stuff that happened, you know, prior to Stonewall, but that was the catalyst. That was the point where it was like, hey, this is the jump off. You know, that's where it was going to go, and that baton would finally get passed again. And that started this whole revolution. It started the movement to get gay rights. Like, y'all, like, you literally, it's a rabbit hole. Like, I spent so much time just falling down this rabbit hole and, like, finding out so much more information. I'm a history buff, so I love anything about history, like, especially when it's history that affects yourself. Like, it to me, it's even more interesting because it's like, you know, you can see a little bit more of yourself in that particular history when it has, it's more related to you, you know? Like, I mean, Stonewall, like, the documentary, the PBS documentary, Annette, that you recommended, was awesome.
That,
like,
is my favorite.
Very informative. And I like the parallels of how they talk to different, like, you know, different people. Like, all documentaries do that. But, like, just kind of how they kind of honed in on the different stories of each, you know, like, hey, I was a farm boy in Iowa that went to New York City. And, you know, like just how they kind of followed them, and the information that they provided, you know, prior to Stonewall about, you know, people losing their jobs and, you know, losing their homes, losing, you know, everything. And then the conversion therapies and all that. I mean, it was horrible, y'all. Like, it was horrible. Absolutely atrocious. Like, and it, what I think what makes me like just even like kind of choked up and sad is like this, like, you're so threatened and hateful and everything that you would put your family member through something like that. Like, I don't care if you don't know modern medicine, but think about it this way. If you stick your finger in an electrical socket, you know it's not good for you, right? So you mean to tell me you think it's a good idea to strap electrodes to your head to try to cure being gay? Like, do you really think that that's going to actually do anything? Like, you would rather have a family member that's a vegetable than be gay. Like, in your brain, how did, maybe you stuck your finger in an electrical socket too much, because that doesn't make any sense. You know,
it makes none.
Like, it makes no sense. But people were doing that kind of stuff. And I mean, just the weight of people, you know, losing everything. I mean, these people lost everything just being who they are.
I mean, you know, Marcia and Sylvia, because there are two girls, you know, they come about, yeah, they were drag queens, but really they were trans women, you know? So, I mean, they lost their entire families. They lived on the streets, literally. They were sex workers. They would go down to the docks. That's where they'd go, you know, turn tricks. And, you know, both of them talked very candidly about it. And they did what they had to survive, as you said. And when they started STAR, which was the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, they were doing it to keep other kids off the street. Like, they didn't have anything, but they wanted to keep anybody they could from doing it, you know? And honestly, before Marcia and Sylvia, drag queens or trans people were not even let into Stonewall. Like, they were the first ones let in. And, you know, so they broke the barrier getting in the door there. And, you know, they're the two that no matter what account you hear, nobody discredits that those two women were there. And what hurts me, you know, learning about this is everybody should have known their names then. They didn't really come out as the heroes until they both died, because, you know, people were so, they whitewashed it. They literally did. They whitewashed it with gay white men. I mean, don't get me wrong. They all fought. Everybody fought. But Marcia and Sylvia didn't fit their narrative. So they kind of pushed them out, you know, and Sylvia had a bunch of anger about it because they tried to erase them from what they had done. And, you know, if it hadn't have been for these women, we wouldn't have, I mean, I don't know what we would have. I mean, because they fought everywhere they could. They, you know, they always, they would give their last dollar. They would give anything they could just to help anybody. And because they weren't white, you know, identified gay men, which, don't get me wrong, they didn't have it easy, but because they were trans women of color, they got pushed to the side and almost erased out of the history of it. And thank God for Randy Wicker, you know, he had the documentation of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God Randy Wicker is a pack rat. Like, if you learn anything from that documentary, like, I watched The Life and Death of...
podcast?
Yeah.
We'll get Randy on it.
This dude, y'all, he is the definition of a pack rat. Which, honestly,
but he knows where everything's at.
He knows where everything's at. It's controlled chaos. But he's a historical pack rat. So he, you know, without his information, without the fact that he had all that, like, a lot of these people's names, especially Marcia and Sylvia, you wouldn't know their names. And it's a good thing that he kept all that, because it's like that's history. Like, that's all history. That's all stuff that we need to know. And, you know, the people who fought and died and, you know, went through different struggles and stuff, they need to be known. I mean, that's any type of movement when it comes to human rights. I mean, there's just people that need to be known because they're a part of the movement. Like, Marcia and Sylvia directly had an influence on modern gay rights. Like, and especially like for people who are trans people, like, that's though they're the four women, you know, four mothers of a lot of movements within the gay community. Like, just amazing. Like, I mean,
until Marcia died, you know, she worked with ACT UP, which was, you know, the big AIDS activist group that came about in the 80s when the AIDS epidemic hit. And that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, everything she did was to further the movement. And that, I mean, it didn't matter. She did, honestly, she didn't care that they were leaving her out. Could just to help people. That was all she wanted to do. Anybody that talks about her always talks about the good heart she had. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And don't get me wrong. They had their demons. You know, there was substance abuse and everything. These aren't just like, they're like everybody else. Everybody's flawed. But damn it, they were good people.
Yeah. And like Sylvia, like honestly, Sylvia, her story and like listening to her talk about movement and everything and getting more information about her, I really like enjoyed like learning about her. Because she was very no nonsense. Like Marsha was more of like the lovier of the two. Like don't get me wrong, Sylvia loved everybody too. But Sylvia was more, she was a realist, you know.
Oh,
like ironic too. Like as I was watching this, like I mean, I'm not comparing us to them by any means, but like I kind of see like our parallel and our relationship where I'm very logical and very real, like a very like realist, you know. And you're more of the lovelier of the two, like of us, like
so.
You know,
Marsha, you're Sylvia. I can live with that.
Yeah, like you know, and again, not comparing them because we have not done anything remotely close to what they've done. But no, I'm just kind of the relationship stuff. But like Sylvia, you know, I love the fact that she was, you know, after Stonewall, that was her thing. She said it. She was like, okay, what are we gonna do now? Like, yeah, okay, we rioted for 3 nights, okay? And that's what I love the most. She saw that, all right, we're going to take this opportunity to start something and make something happen. So, yeah, okay, we had a riot for 3 days. It's New York. Riots happen all the time. So what are we going to do to set ourselves apart and set the course to be able to change things for the better permanently? As opposed to for 3 nights or whatever, you know, and she, you know, like you said, she had her demons. And I liked, like, after watching everything, it was really sad, you know, learning that she had passed, because I would be interested to see what she would say about today, because, you know, we've come a long way. Is there a long way to go? Yes. Still.
Hey, hell yeah.
You know, I mean, even within our own community and outside of our community. But I would be interested to see, you know, what her opinions would be today. You know, just seeing how much of her influence and Marsha's influence and everybody involved at Stonewall and all of that, how much that really did change things, you know. And especially, I'm not trans, I can't speak for trans people, but just seeing how more and more people are becoming accepting of that part of themselves and, you know, really embracing that, and even the gay community being more embracing of it. Are there still assholes within the community that shun away trans people? Abso-freaking-lutely. Do they suck? Yes.
100%.
But just seeing how much more accepting, you know, within our, because it's like, hey, we all fighting the same fight.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody, like, there's always been, and of course I know I'm older than you. I got 7 years on you, girl. But, you know, there's always been this very definitive line of groups within the community itself. I've never really understood it, why we just, you know, don't. Right. We're all queer. I mean, I know we've taken that word back, but it took a long while. I don't have a problem identifying as a lesbian. That is who I am. I am into women. I date women. You know, it's never been a dude for me. Okay. But we're all marginalized. We are all the outcast. We've all not been accepted for who we are at some point in our lives. I will not lie. I've said it on here before. I did not have a terrible coming out. Did not. Matter of fact, my coming out tour was like two people. Then they didn't have a problem. And, you know, I can remember it was so not a big deal that I remember the discussions with everybody. But I couldn't even tell you what year they are at this point.
I mean, you know? It's just like, I agree with you. Like, there's so much other stuff that we have to fight. Like, so many other battles we have to fight. Why are we fighting amongst ourselves? Like, do you? Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit who you sleep with or who you like or what. I don't care. Like, does it affect me? No. Like, if that's all what I'm you gonna, like if, and that's what you're into, all right.
If you're my friend, all I want to know is, are they good to you? That's all
exactly.
I got.
Exactly.
Because if they ain't good to you, we're going to throw hands.
Exactly. That's all I need to know. Like, I just need to know. Am I going to need to figure out how to get rid of a body at some point? If the answer is no, cool, we good. If the answer is maybe, okay, we have a problem. I'm going to be there for you, and I do know how to get rid of a body. So, you know, it'll work out. But that's one thing I never really got. I read an article this week. This lady, she went on a cruise, and it was a lesbian cruise.
Oh my God, I haven't read this yet, but go ahead. I know what it is.
Okay, it's about I won't spoil it. Yes.
Dana, yeah. Go ahead.
I won't spoil it for you, but I read that article, and, you know, some of the points that she brought up, like, you know, there's a lot of things that are generational and different things like that, but one of the things she brought up was, you know, for trans women, you know, are they really accepted on, you know, lesbian cruises, lesbian bars, that kind of thing? And how many reactions that people had, they were like, no, this is our space, da 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 da. And I'm as I'm reading it and like sitting there thinking about it, I'm like, you do realize the same shit that just came out of your mouth is the same shit that back in the day people were saying about your ass.
Somebody.
Yeah. So why do you feel like it's okay for you to do that to a trans woman? She identify as a woman. What's the problem? Like, you identify as a woman? Cool. Look, I do too.
Woman or woman. That's it. That's how I look at it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you woman, I'm a woman. Cool. Let's go dance. I mean, you hear about it. You see things, you know, online and that kind of stuff. Me personally, I don't surround myself with bigoted people. So, you know, if you come at me with, if I hear nonsense come out of your mouth about trans women, about anybody, like straight, gay, whatever, F-bomb, I don't fucking care. Like, as long as you're a good person and the person you're with is treating you right, then what else matters? Like, that's stupid. I'm not going to waste my time worrying about people, encroaching on our space, and, you know, they're not truly women, or they're not truly men, or what, all that bullshit. Like, it's just stupid. And, you know, Marsha and Sylvia, you know, harking back to the Stonewall thing, that's the shit that they had to fight within their own community on top of fighting for gay rights as a whole. Like, that was one fight they shouldn't have had. They did. They shouldn't have had it.
Well, the thing is, they got to the gay rights way before trans rights, because we're just now getting into the trans rights, and we're in 2019.
Yeah. There's a long way to go on, you know, as far as gay rights, trans rights. And like I said, so growing up, like I was bullied as a kid, like when I was like really young, not super, super young, but really young. And then when I got to high school, and I saw people being bullied, when I got bigger and stronger, like, I was the one that stuck up for, you know, people that were being bullied. So I have a huge problem when I see stuff online and I hear people, you know, bad mouthing, you know, the trans community and stuff. That pisses me off. And let's face it, y'all, you know, I have a big mouth, clearly, because we have a podcast. So,
true.
You know, I have a big mouth. I'm going to say something. Like, I can't stand bullies. Like, in what you are, you're a gay bully, okay? Boom. That's what you are. You're a gay bully. And it's stupid. And I don't understand why you do that. But, you know, Marsha and Sylvia had to go through that shit, which they should not have had to go through. And like Annette said, we're still trying to get this shit together as far as trans rights go and even gay rights. I mean, there's still hurdles we still have to jump over, too. But
well, hell yeah. I just read today, you know, Clarence Thomas, you know, this is what happens when
put
these lifelong judges in it. I know. He gave an opinion on the court abstained from reading or seeing another, you know, gay baker or baking a cake for a gay couple. But he offered an opinion on how, you know, that the some of the cases that have, you know, set precedent or law maybe should be rescinded and actually referred back to the Obergefell, which is, you know, the reason we do have gay marriage or just marriage, legal same-sex marriage for these days now. And he is, you know, offering his opinion that maybe we should rescind that and take that one back.
You know, okay. All right.
And we got.
I'm going to speak for the Black community as a whole right now. I'm going to speak for the Black community as a whole right now. Do we acknowledge the achievements of Clarence Thomas? Abso-freaking-lutely. Do we accept him into the Black delegation? No, because of stupid shit like that, as well as some other things that he has done. Oh my God. Ooh, girl, we could have a field day on this shit.
We can go straight off in a tangent. But, you know, we are keeping Lord. Stonewall and Pride, you know, because Stonewall is what they would consider our first Pride. That's how Pride started. You know, the tagline for Stonewall is the first Pride was a riot. Yeah. So, you know, 1 year later, 1970, on June 28th, they had the first march, and it was a remembrance day of the riots. And so from there, you know, these Pride celebrations kind of started popping up. They are definitely not what we know as Pride today, which, you know, most people, I will say the younger generation, and even I'll say the heterosexual people that have never been to Pride, they just think Pride is an excuse to party, drink, and wear some rainbow shit. That shows you how little that people know or care to know, because that's nowhere in what it was. Pride came about because people were tired of being afraid, and that was a space to where they could be who they were. It was safe. And, you know, for some people, that was the one day a year, because it was not the big party it is today, but that would be the one day a year that they could just be who they were. And the other 364, they had to hide it. I was thinking about this as we were preparing for this, about the first Pride I went to. And I want to say it was 2006. It might have been 7, but I really think it was 2006. Because that was, I got outed, okay? It wasn't a great experience, but it turned out not to be a big deal. I made it a bigger deal than what it was, because the people that I was outed, that, you know, the individual that outed me to my friends, I was afraid my family was going to find out. And that's when I started telling the family and told two people and told you it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, I was like, well, I needed somewhere to go. I'd never been in a gay bar at that point. I tried to keep it as hidden as possible. But as my twin sister said, bitch, I shared a womb with you. I know. You know, the first Pride I went to, it was in Nashville, and it was in our park, Centennial Park. And it's not a huge park. And we had like this one corner of the park, and it had a couple tents. You couldn't even walk around the grounds with a beer. It was a beer tent. Mm-hmm. And then there was like this parade that was like, I don't know, 15, 20 cars. That was the first time I think I actually saw a real drag queen, and I was in love. Okay. straight up. But, you know, I just remember having this amazing sense of, oh, okay, it's not that big of a deal. I'm okay. So, you know, I've been going to Pride ever since then. And, you know, it has gotten bigger. It has gotten, I'll say, better in some aspects. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, I remember that little corner of the park. But, you know, it's been 13 years of Pride celebrations. And I have gone to other cities and gone to their Prides as well. But it's one thing that I always try to go to and support. Mm-hmm. And I always try to make sure that I talk to people that I don't know. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that they'll drive for hours so they can come to Nashville because, you know, they're like me. They grew up in this tiny little rural town. Yeah. And they still live there and they're not out, but they can come to Nashville and be around their community for a couple of hours. And it's just, it is so beautiful. It's my jam.
It's so funny we're talking about this. I'm actually looking at a picture I took. So I've only been to Pride one time. And that's when I was living in Denver at the time. And a friend of mine, she took me. This was actually was that 2016? This was the Pride directly after the Orlando shooting. So this was 3 years ago. Yeah, and this was literally the day, this was like the actual day after the shooting, or like 2 days after the shooting. Mm-hmm. And we went, and, you know, to be honest, I was a little scared because, you know, the shooting had just happened, and, you know, and I was afraid, and it most of the morning I really contemplated not going, because I was like, I lived in Denver, so I was there for the Aurora shooting, you know, so any type of, you know, so I had already been in a city that has had one, not to mention, you know, Columbine, mm-hmm. that was years ago. So, you know, it's heavy, you know, it's a heavy subject in the city of Denver. It's heavy. I mean, it's heavy for anybody, but, you know, especially for the city when, you know, Aurora happened 4 years before that. So it was heavy. So it did add a lot on my mind. I, you know, really, really, really contemplated not going. And ironically, I don't even know if she knows this, but my friend, she had texted me and she was like, hey, what time are we going? And I was just like, oh, crap. You know, I'm going to go. You know, yeah. So that her text kind of pushed me over the edge to make sure that I went. And I went and, you know, we just walked around. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we didn't really, this was, I think it was like one of the first days. So there wasn't a lot going on. There was, you know, concert and people walking around and booths and food and drinks and all that, you know, it. Denver has a lot of festivals and stuff. So it's kind of like a typical festival. There's just gay people everywhere and flags, you know, rainbow flags everywhere.
That's honestly what it is.
Yeah. You know, so it, you know, so I was like, okay, you know, I conjured up this image in my mind of what it was, but I didn't really know the history behind it until, you know, years later. But I went and I had a great time. There was a thing there that you could sign for in remembrance of the Orlando victim shooters, the Orlando victims. And we signed that, and you know, that was amazing to see, and just how many people had signed it and everything. And we just kind of walked around, and she knew it was my first time, and so she was just kind of, you know, not guiding me, but you know, just kind of there, you know, kind of deal. But that was the first time, and that's the only one I've been to. I've never been to one before that. When I was in college, I would go to, there was a lesbian club like too far from my school. That place was the bomb. I freaking love that place. Uh-huh.
I will be taking you to Lipstick when you visit. Don't worry,
we got one. It was a blast, you know. And so that's about, you know, and I worked for the women's basketball team, so that's about the extent of my circle in college. And then when I got out of school, I moved home, and there was no way. Like, I had no friends. I didn't have anybody I could really talk to, or, you know, everything. My support system for that aspect of my life was in Denver, so I didn't really have anybody here. So I just kind of was like, all right, whatever. But, you know, my pride, I guess, pride for you is like actual pride. Pride for me is Klexicon. Like, that was really my first.
Girl, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was like my first real taste of community. Like, really, really and truly. Because like I said, with Denver Pride, I was with my friend who I was friends with outside of, you know, my sexuality and all that stuff. So, I mean, we worked together. So I saw her every day, you know, so it wasn't really different, if that makes any sense. I don't know if I'm explaining myself does. Right. But no, Klexicon, it does. You know, when I went to Klexicon in 2018 and, you know, I was there by myself. So I had to talk to people because I didn't know nobody, you know, I was there by myself.
Girl.
And, you know, just walking, I will never forget when I walked in to the Tropicana on the Thursday of when, you know, we officially kicked off that Thursday for the speed friending. My friend, who, you know, as I'm to meet her, you know, walking in there and just seeing a sea of lesbians, my age, older. I mean, it was just a variety of lesbians, you know, trans men and women. You know, just seeing just this community. And like, what I loved is, like, you know, I like to wear backwards caps, shorts, t-shirts. I mean, that's just, I like to be comfortable. It's just, I don't have a style per se. I just like to wear what is comfortable and fits. So, you know, but usually when I wear my caps and in different things, you know, as a woman, you know, outside of certain aspects, you're looked at differently, you know, and you get used to it, you know, you get used to the looks and everything, but walking in there and not getting looked at sideways because I'm dressed like 15 other people who are standing right there. But like, walking in and just like just a sigh of like relief and just being like, oh my God, like, this is what it's about. Like, and then two, they're all nerds too. Like, this
even better,
no better than that, you know? And it was just, it was such an experience that I mean, that first year, like, I went last year was great and everything, but, you know, I have friends and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So this year's Klexicon.
Yeah, it was April, girl.
Yeah, it was different versus last year's, where that was my pride, like, spending 4 days of just being around like-minded individuals and nerds and, you know, just being able to embrace who I am, because I'm like, and I've said in previous episodes, I'm not out to a lot of people. You know, there's only a handful of people that know, and you know, my immediate family doesn't. So just being able to have 4 days of, you know, being able to just be me for 4 days, just really be able to just breathe, relax, like not having to check who, you know, make sure if I'm checking a chick out, like it's not like the real checkout. It's more of like, you know, when women like appreciate other women, but not, you know, sexually,
right?
Like, not having to check my looks and like just having the freedom to be me for 4 days. That to me, that's my pride. Like, you know, I need to go to more, you know, actual pride events and stuff. But you know, the things that I am able to do to experience that community and to really embrace being me, 100% me for those 4 days, it was amazing. Like, you know, a total segue, but you know, a lot of people had a lot of problems with Klexicon and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's things that could have been done better and all that stuff, sure, and we won't get into it, but right. You know, overall, the space that was created, at least for me anyway, the space that was created for right. me, I can only speak to my experience, but that was my haven, that was my pride, that is something that I, you know, enjoy and I support, because you know, there, I can guarantee you there was probably some other people who last year was their first year there by themselves, you know, traveling from God knows where to experience this, and you know, may have had the same experience that I had last year, where it was just an amazing, incredible thing, and that could help somebody. You know, my situation,
100%.
My situation varies, but like, you know, that could save somebody's life. I mean, you don't know what people are going through, you know, and that just little bit of time for them to be able to be themselves, even if it's only one time a year, that could change somebody, or that could save somebody. And you have to respect that. And, you know, pride celebrations, you know, I've heard stuff about that too, where that's, you know, like you said, they come in from, you know, Montucky, whatever, Connecticut, whatever, yeah. You know, some little town you've never heard of where they just cannot be themselves, or even a big city, they just cannot be themselves, and they travel from God.
There's some people,
yeah,
no matter where they're at, they cannot be themselves. You know, I've been to Atlanta Pride, St. Louis Pride, Pensacola, you know, Florida, all of that, and there's always, I mean, you always meet these people that drove, you know, hours to get there, and it's the one time that year or any time, because they're not out to anybody, you know. They don't have a significant other or anything. They just want to come and be in a community that they know they belong to. That's it. Exactly. And that's why it's, whether it's Pride, whether it's CollectCon, whether it's, you know, another convention or anything else, anywhere you can be yourself, like that's a gift.
Exactly. I mean, that's Pride. And like you mentioned something about, you know, people, oh, it's just a big party. It's like, you don't realize that a lot of times after, if you've ever watched the news when back in Europe, you know, people were fighting for civil rights, or in, you know, South America or whatever, they fight for their rights and they win. What do? They celebrate. They dance. They celebrate. In the street. They, you know, they drink. They have a good time. Like, it's not that it's not about remembrance. It's not that it's not about, excuse me, it's not that it's not about, you know, partying it up and drinking, you know, till you're blind, or, you know, whatever. Like, does that happen? Yes. But, you know, it's, that's not the focus. It's the focus is the celebration of, you know, to me, the celebration of succeeding in the rights and the changes that have been made to your community, and being proud of what is occurring,
still being proud of active about it, because, you know, being active within that community still, because you've got your vendors, you know, you're going to see the restaurants, the chains, the insurance companies, whatever that are there, but you're also going to see those political and social activist groups, like HRC is going to be there. You know, you'll see Equality Project, Trevor Project. You'll see all these others that do these political acts to, you know, further our equality, because LGBT people do not have full equality. Absolutely, they do not. So, you know, I read a quote this week. Honestly, I do not remember who said it. It was just one of those. I think somebody had screen grabbed a tweet and I read it off of that, and I do not know who it was. But they said, until we have full equality, every pride is a protest. And I mean, that just kind of tug at home for me. I mean, you know, here it is 50 years later from what the, you know, the spark that ignited it all. And we're still having to protest this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have it way better than the generations that came before us, 100%. But with, you know, numbnuts in the White House and the shit that they're trying to roll back there, I mean, it's like every day we have to fight just to have air to breathe.
Every day is a fight. Like, every day is a fight, but, you know, there's something that somebody said once, is like, every day is a fight, but you know what comes after a fight? Rest. And it may take a long time to get there, but it is coming. As long as you, you know, stay the course and, you know, be the change, you know, as corny as that may sound, but be the change and want to see changes made, then rest is coming. You know, we'll get equal rights. I mean, there's a hell of a lot that's wrong with this country. But, you know, the one thing that can be said is when Americans, when we feel something is wrong as a whole, not select groups, but as a whole, we feel something is wrong.
As a whole.
When we feel something is wrong, we will unite to make a change. And the people who are actively continuing our fight for equality and for our rights, you know, change is coming. I mean, just look at the change that has happened in the course of the last 20 years. Is some of that, you know, kind of reverting because of numbnuts, like you said? Yes.
Yep.
But there is more, I think, that are starting to outweigh that ridiculous racism and bigotry that are trying to make things better. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, he used to take us to, so today's June 19th, which is Juneteenth. He used to take us to the Juneteenth celebration in the park. And in that park,
tell everybody what Juneteenth is, because they may or may not know. So,
Juneteenth is the holiday that is celebrated where the slaves, basically really in Texas, the slaves in Texas were informed that the Emancipation Proclamation had been, you know, went through and slaves were free because the news. So what happened when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves? It was the responsibility of the slave owners to inform their slaves that they were free. So a lot of slave owners moved to Texas because, let's face it, snail mail, it's going to take forever to get to Texas, and Texas was kind of doing its own thing at the time. So Juneteenth, 1865, June 19th, is Juneteenth, and that was the day the news reached Texas that slaves were free. And so that was really and truly the day of freedom for African slaves in the United States. So we celebrate every June 19th, or Juneteenth, as it's called, is when we celebrate. And as a kid, my dad, he used to take us to the Juneteenth celebrations in the park. And there would be, you know, barbecue and music and, you know, all kinds of different things to do and see and eat, mostly eat. But there would be other booths there for, you know, the National Urban League, NAACP, a lot of activist groups within the Black community that were still, you know, continuing the fight for, you know, equal rights for African Americans in this country. And kind of similar to, you know, the gay rights movement with Pride, you know, yeah, there's all these companies, insurance companies and shoes and clothes and, you know, all these vendors and stuff like that, you know, this time of year, I mean, let's be real, it's a marketing strategy. But the ones who are really active, truly doing, you know, something within the community outside of the month of June, they're there as well, you know, trying to remind people, hey, you know, there's still a fight. We still stuff we gotta do. And, you know, they're actively trying to continue the fight and actively trying to make change. So, you know, it's important to, you know, when you are doing your pride celebration, when you're running around, you know, enjoying yourself, take 5 minutes when you're perusing the booths and get some information on what's going on. I mean, this day and age, we live in a technology age. You can get information, you know, at the drop of a hat. It's not hard. But, you know, take the time to talk to these people and see what's really going on so you can actually make your own informed opinions about it and see what maybe something that you can do within are, you know, whether it's protesting or getting online, whatever it is, I don't know. But just see what's
voter up. Voter registration.
Exactly. I mean, simple, that's the big
simple
one.
Thing.
Voter registration.
You don't have to be the one carrying the sign or yelling.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. Because you know what? Some people, they're protesting just by being themselves. That's it.
Exactly.
They're just living their life.
Exactly. I mean, there's things, you know, a lot of people don't think that, you know, what they do doesn't matter. But in really and truly, you just being yourself could potentially influence somebody else to be themselves, you know, or potentially influence somebody to rethink how they feel or think about LGBTQ people. I mean, you don't know who's watching, who's looking, and what you can do or say can actually influence somebody else and make a change in their own life. So food for thought, keeping it real, keeping it deep up in here. But this episode, I feel like I was eye opening. I think this was one, you know, a lot of stuff we talk about on here is, you know, a lot of stuff that's not heavy, you know, it's stuff that we like and enjoy.
It's just fun.
You know, it's fun, which is us 99.9% of the time. But you know, you still need to know where you come from and, you know, what goes into the liberties that you have and the rights that you have. So sometimes you gotta jump back into the past. I told Annette when we were doing all this, I was like, I should have did all this on a 3-day weekend because I was hella pissed.
She got way angry in the middle of the week, y'all. Sorry about that.
And so it was rough to get through the rest of the week, but I did it. So, you know, if you do dive down the rabbit hole of Stonewall, you decide to watch the documentary and stuff. If you're anything like me and you get very passionate about things and passion can turn into anger, it's a very fine line. I recommend doing it on a weekend. Just putting that out there because you'd be pissed.
Because it's, you will start watching one thing, it'll lead into another. I'm not going to lie. I've watched all the documentaries on Hulu and on Netflix, whether it's Stonewall, Age Crisis. Oh my God. Anytime I get a chance, the thing with history and with LGBT history, we have to seek it out to know it because they're not teaching this in school.
Nope.
So we have to know. It is upon us and our responsibility to know where and forth we came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's a good lesson for gay rights history. Any history.
Yeah.
You want to know because they're not going to teach you, you know, the stuff that makes us look bad or makes them look bad. They're going to teach you that kind of stuff. So you need to go on and you need to, again, we live in an internet age. We live in a technology age. There's no excuse. And like, you know, and like I said earlier in this episode, you know, hey, I didn't know. And taking this journey to do this episode and really like getting this information sparked me to want to know more. And I did. I blew through so many podcasts and documentaries and stuff. It's ridiculous, but it's good to know because nobody's going to teach you that. I didn't know. Like, I know there's a lot of people who don't know any of this stuff, you know, and that's not knocking them or anything like that. They just happen to be ignorant to it because they weren't taught. You know, how are we going to make change
if you don't know
where we came from? Exactly. Exactly. You don't know what you don't know. How are we going to make change if we don't know where we came from? Because like that, the old saying goes, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So.
Oh, girl. And there, I get scared sometimes when I'm researching things. Oh my God. Not even just this.
When you start seeing parallels of what's going on in this world, it's just like, yo, has anybody opened a history book? Because I have. And this looks hella familiar. Like,
it's like, I think we've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just not in black and white anymore. I feel like we went deep this episode, man.
I mean, it was serious. We had to keep it a little bit serious, but you know, it's just one of those things that for me personally, I felt that we needed to do something like this.
For sure. Learn your history, people.
But that's all we got for y'all today.
We want to hear from you guys. We are on our Anchor page, of course, anchor.fm/ICanShipItPod. We're on Instagram at ICanShipItPod and on Twitter, ICanShipItPod. We want to hear from you guys. We have more stuff coming. We appreciate you guys listening. This is the ICanShipItPod. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Annette.
And that's going to do it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.